Welcome into Diamonds in the Desert. I'm Haley Stasiak here with Jordan Hamm. And we do know that we are talking baseball in the desert, but we have to head over to the coast to start things off here. Big trade for the Dodgers. They acquired Yu Darvish in exchange for some minor league prospects. This is going to be a huge deal for the NL West, not just for the Dodgers, but for the entirety of the NL West. It's really going to affect the Diamondbacks, I think.
Yeah, I mean, you could argue that the top rotation in baseball right now was the Los Angeles Dodgers, and now you throw in one of the best pitchers in all of baseball. He is coming off a start where he gave up 10 earned runs, but that certainly inflates his numbers to a 4.01 ERA, but a career 3.42 ERA, 52 wins. This is going to be his fifth year in Major League Baseball. So a huge pickup from then. Right now you're looking, Clayton Kershaw comes back healthy. You have Clayton Kershaw, Rich Hill, Alex Wood, Yu Darvish, Kenta Maeda, Brandon McCarthy. You know, there are six or seven guys, you know, Ryu. And then you think in a five-game series, in a seven-game series, you're going to be seeing Clayton Kershaw at least twice, Yu Darvish at least twice, in some of those scenarios, maybe three times, Alex Wood. If you're any other team in the NL or maybe in the MLB, you're just hoping that they haven't really stumbled yet this year. Earlier in the year before Bellinger got called up, they were a good team. Now they're a great team. Now they're the Avengers. but you just hope that come postseason,
there's a glitch in the radar.
The wear and tear start to happen. You know, obviously not wishing for injuries or anything like that, but, you know, guys start to get a little bit tired, bats start to go a little bit quiet, you know, a lot of young players maybe that the bright lights, you know, have them recoil, even though they play in LA, and that's probably not going to be the case, but I think they were the team to beat before, now they're definitely the team to beat.
Let's get into the Diamondbacks trades now. We'll get into injuries in a second with more details on that, but Ketel Marte's mother passed away on Monday morning, and Chris Owings fractured his finger on Sunday in that series finale against the Cardinals. So there was kind of a desperation for depth at that shortstop position in the infield. So the Diamondbacks acquired Adam Rosales from the A's for a minor league pitching prospect. Terrible news surrounding Marte and his mother's passing. But they got some depth that was needed, even with Owings out and Ahmed out as well.
Yeah, I mean, first and foremost, thoughts and prayers out to the entire Marte family. That's horrible news, especially when it's something that's so unexpected. You know, that's just awful, awful news. So, all baseball aside, just hope him and his family can kind of help pick up the pieces here over the next couple of weeks and beyond that. But in terms of the deal, yeah, I think that the Owings injury hurts a little bit more than maybe another position player because he can play multiple positions. Nick Ahmed is still on the mend. He should be coming back here in the next couple of weeks. But a strength of this team was the infield depth, and now that's really being depleted. It's a luxury to have a Daniel Descalso who can play a couple different guys, especially to get Jake Lamb a little bit of rest, get some at-bats in for Brandon Drury, who has been struggling as of late, things like that. So Rosales is similarly can play multiple positions, so that's nice. Not going to blow you away with the bat, but I think where this team is right now, you don't need another slugger. They went out a couple weeks ago. They got J.D. Martinez to add to an already formidable lineup, and he has definitely delivered on that. So you just need some guys that can, you know, just take the base hits away. And I think Rosales certainly fits that mold. I think that he is a guy that, you know, you're not giving up elite prospects. You're not giving up a top flight guy. There wasn't much of a market for him. So you're able to get one of those plug and play guys that can help kind of be a bit of a stopgap. And then as these guys come back and get healthy, the 40-man expands. You have a guy that can now play multiple positions. And, you know, like we said, give the off day specifically to some of these younger guys.
And the Diamondbacks really didn't give up a whole lot in any of these trades that they had before the deadline on Monday afternoon. That Martinez trade, they gave up a bag of rocks, as everyone's kind of been saying with that.
Yeah, I mean, Lugo is a good prospect, yeah. But that is, again, a position of depth for them. So mm-hmm. It wasn't maybe, I don't want to say he had less value to them, but it's easier to part with a guy when you know you have two or three guys right. playing that same position that can fill those spots when needed.
And then just shortly after the Rosales trade was made, they acquired David Hernandez, who was previously with the Diamondbacks from 2011 to 2015, from the Angels for another minor league pitching prospect. And Hernandez is going to bring some relief in the bullpen, which has been struggling as of late.
Yeah, it's a guy that I'm sure D-backs fans are very familiar with. When he burst onto the scene, he was a part of one of, you know, some of those really good Diamondback bullpens where you could get the ball to him, you know, in the seventh or eighth inning and be a good bridge to the closer. There was also talk of him potentially becoming a closer. His last couple years with the Diamondbacks weren't as good. Seems like he gave up a lot of clutch base hits, things like that. But again, his overall numbers were pretty good. Goes off to Philadelphia, has a pretty good year. Goes off to the Angels, has a very good year. So he's coming back, and this is a revitalized franchise. And I think when you can put someone who has delivered in a place where he can compete and, you know, play some meaningful games, that's going to be helpful. And you can never have too many bullpen arms. And Zach Britton was going to cost a ton. Brad Hand was going to cost a ton. They were asking for Andrew Miller-type returns yeah. that the Yankees got from them a couple years ago. And frankly, the Diamondbacks don't really have that talent in their farm system. Or if they do, then it's going to be bone dry in that farm system. So I think it was a very conscientious decision to bring in a proven guy who isn't going to be asked to close out ball games, who's not going to have to be the guy. He's going to be one of the guys, you know, paired with Archie Bradley and, you know, eventually Fernando Rodney as the game progresses. So I think it's a good move. You're not giving up a ton. And again, you can't have too much bullpen. You can't shorten the game enough for lineups like the Dodgers, like the Rockies, like the Cubs.
Now, the Martinez trade happened, and there wasn't a whole lot of news surrounding the Diamondbacks and trade talks and trade rumors and all that stuff. But last Thursday, they did acquire John Ryan Murphy from the Twins for a minor league pitching prospect. And Murphy's a catcher, which we all know that the depth of the catching position up here mm-hmm. at the Diamondbacks is pretty solid. He was assigned to AAA Reno. But having that guy down there in AAA that can come up and he can work and do almost match what they're doing up here is probably a good thing.
Yeah, and it's he'll be in the lineup. He'll be a solid defensive catcher, but he also has experience handling a big league pitching staff. So you have a guy down in AAA who can, you know, maybe not in the case of like a Braden Shipley, who's been up and down a couple of times, but some of those guys who are the next tier, who haven't been quite called up yet, you want to surround those guys with guys that have done it and guys that have been up there and logged the major league minutes. That's very valuable in a minor league system. So I think that was sort of the point of that deal. You're not going to option down a Jeff Mathis, a Chris Iannetta, right. a Chris Herman. I think the balance this year between those three catchers has been very good. And they've been fresh, which has been good, and they bring a lot to the defensive side. And when you need it, Chris Iannetta can provide some pop. Chris Herman's been great. Jeff Mathis has, I think, exceeded some probably low expectations, but still has been formidable. So bringing in a guy like that to help get the next level going, I think, is a good move.
Let's get into those injuries now. We mentioned Owens. We're going to get to that after we get to the scarier of the two injuries that happened this weekend. Not a great weekend in St. Louis for the Diamondbacks regarding injuries. Robbie Ray was hit in the head with a line drive by Cardinals first baseman Luke Voit on Friday evening. He immediately fell to the ground holding the back of his head, was assisted right there on the mound and carted off. He did wave to fans as he was being carted off and was taken to a local hospital for testing, where they found cognitively everything was good, was diagnosed with a concussion. They placed him on the 10-day concussion disabled list.
7-day.
7-day concussion disabled list recently. But in that situation, obviously, the person who's feeling worse is the guy that hit the ball. It was a scary thing. It is the game. I know a lot of people had their doubts about, while he's laying there, obviously, what's going to happen? How is he? But a little bit of a loss to that starting lineup there.
Oh, a definite loss. I mean, this is a guy that has gone, you could argue 1A and 1B with Zach Greinke for the best pitcher in the rotation. And he's been phenomenal this year. So a huge loss in terms of a baseball sense. And hopefully there are no repercussions coming after. To say that he won't be thinking about it when he steps on the mound again, that's I think that's pretty silly. I think that that could be in the back of his mind. But just the fact that, you know, right off the bat, and the way he grabbed his head, it was almost like he was like trying to keep the contents in. Like he was grabbing it so tightly that it looked really bad. Mm-hmm. And the fact that he was sitting up and that he was responsive and was released from the hospital that night and back in the clubhouse later that day is huge. Yeah, and he did say, he's like, you know, things are a little foggy right now. So as we've seen with Torey Lovello, I don't think he ever has rushed a decision in his managing career. I don't think he's going to rush Robbie Ray back. I don't think if he's on the fence about things, I think he'll call up a Braden Shipley. He'll call up, you know, any of those guys to get a spot start to just give Ray a little bit more time. They have a luxury. They're 6 up in the wild card right now, position wise. So they have a little bit of a cushion that they can still make the playoffs without Robbie Ray for a couple of starts. So and I think Lovello would say, first and foremost, the human being is much more important than the ball player, and Robbie Ray's long-term success on and off the mound is very important. But definitely fortunate based on what we saw in real time.
And, you know, with it being a concussion, obviously, as you said, Lovello is going to take his time. He's not going to rush it back. But it could also have been worse. So the blow to the rotation long-term may not be as long as everyone expected when they saw him go down.
Totally. And yeah, I think you said much more in a much more succinct way of what I was trying to get at, is that who knows what could have happened in those, you know, 2 seconds when everyone registered, oh crap, he just got hit in the head. All things considered, it seems like he's in a pretty good spot. So definitely thankful for that, for even just Robbie Ray, the human being.
Now, TJ McFarland came in that situation. Obviously, he just saw his teammate get nailed with a line drive in the head. You're shook up in that situation, wherever you are on the field, whether you're in the clubhouse, whether you're playing behind him. But he came in and really held his own in those 3 2/3 inning that he was out there. He only allowed 1 run on 3 hits, did come out, and ended up getting the loss, responsible for a runner that scored. But do you think that he could possibly be that key piece slid in there for spot start for Robbie?
I don't think so, because of the depth that they have down in AAA. I think they'd feel more comfortable bringing up a Braden Shipley for a spot start, or somebody of that nature. Even if it gets late enough and Randall Delgado is coming back, I think he would be ahead of McFarland. What we've seen, at least early in the year when there were injuries and struggling starters, I think Torey Lovello had every reason to bring in Archie Bradley and have him bring in a start. But I don't think it's not so much what the starter would do, but how it would affect the rest of the bullpen. And I think he likes where that unit is at right now, and he doesn't want to shake that up too much.
Circling back to the Chris Owings injury, he did fracture his right middle finger on a bunt on Sunday. And Mike Hazen, it was reported by Steve Gilbert of MLB.com that Mike Hazen did say he was undergoing surgery on Monday, expected to be out 8 weeks. They made that trade. They kind of fixed that situation a bit. But this is still a blow for the Diamondbacks.
Oh, yeah, because this is a guy that had a career high in home runs and RBIs. He reached that feat halfway through the season. So, and he did struggle in July, but again, he was a huge piece to go multiple spots around the bullpen. I think a lot of guys in the locker room like him. He he's a workhorse and has been with the team for a very long time. So been productive, whether he'd been in the leadoff or two position or back down, you know, 6 through 8. But definitely brings an above average glove and having a pretty good year overall. So yeah, this is absolutely a huge blow. You don't know and you don't want to rush back Ketel Marte, given right. his situation. Nick Ahmed is known for his glove when he gets back in the lineup. So who knows, we may see Daniel Descalzo get some reps over there too, along with Rosales. I think Lovello is very cautious to not overwork any guys, and he has been, this team has a lot of depth, and he certainly wants to use it.
Now, a couple weeks ago, we discussed that these first 2 weeks in August were going to be a very trying, potentially, time for the Diamondbacks. They are headed to Chicago to face the Cubs for a 3-game series Tuesday through Thursday of this week. Then they head to San Francisco, who just put up a fight against the Dodgers this past weekend, for a 3-game series Friday through Sunday, have an off day Monday, and then the tough homestand with 3 games with the Dodgers, 3 games with the Cubs, and then a 2-game home series with the Astros, and then to Houston to face the Astros comes up in that third week of August.
And then right after that, Minnesota, who has been right. struggling as of late but has been playing very well this year. I think looking at this, it's just no matter how much the Giants struggle, and in this stretch that seems to be the relief series, when you're going to AT&T Park, it's weird. Yeah. They're never easy games. You're going to see Madison Bumgarner. It's going to be Granky Bumgarner to open up the series. That's going to be a great game. And then you also face Matt Cain and Jeff Samardzija. Samardzija is having one of his better years in his career. Even in that quote-unquote relief, they face two of the Giants' better pitchers. And then you're facing Alex Wood against when they come to Chase Field for the Dodgers series, as well as Rich Hill. And you see John Lester and Jake Arrieta a couple of times with the Cubs. So a very tough stretch, and it doesn't help with the pitching matchups, what's going on, and the Diamondbacks still are figuring out how to piece together this lineup. And you know,
obviously those injuries don't help that.
Exactly. I'm sure Torrey's wheels are turning a little bit. I think the important part is to come back, and I think if you are able to split the next 6 games on the road, you're feeling pretty good shape coming in against the Dodgers. You're not going to catch them. Let's just call it like it is.
There.
Yeah, you're not. This series is big against the Dodgers, not because you want to catch the Dodgers, but you just need to get some more cushion.
Yeah,
yeah. You know, you would love to be the home team. You let's just fast forward and say things stand pat how they are. Diamondbacks, Rockies in the wild card. You want to play that game in Chase Field.
Yeah.
You do not want to go to Coors Field. So. This is going to be, we tabbed it a couple weeks ago, this is going to be the make or break. This is going to define the season, and then there's a stretch at the end of the month as well where it's going to be pretty tough, where you have a lot of games against the Dodgers and a lot of games against the Rockies. So this is going to be a defining 2 weeks for the 2017 Diamondback season.
You know, you mentioned those kind of starting pitching matchups there. The Diamondback starting rotation has arguably been the most solid part of the month of July.
I think that's very fair.
I mean, Greinke has come out and had 2 absolutely solid appearances, starts, and Walker comes back from paternity leave, has his first career home run, and does well in that start as well. And then even Patrick Corbin, who we have said he's the weak link in this, has come out in July after the All-Star break and really held his own.
And you can't forget Zach Godley.
Yes.
Godley has pitched very well. He had a rough start coming out of the All-Star break when they were at Atlanta, but then bounced back with a 10-strikeout game in a win against Washington, and then he shut down the St. Louis Cardinals. So really good back-to-back starts for him to build on, and it seems like Pat Corbin has starting to piece it together. He hasn't given up more than 3 earned runs in a start since June 2nd. So it's been a solid mid to late June, and then all the way here through July. So he's done a nice job as well. Taijuan Walker this last series, had a really good start against the Cardinals, but when he made a mistake, it got put in the seats. And that's just the way baseball goes sometimes. He gave up that two-run blow, and you know, things kind of fell apart for him a little bit. But I think if you said, you know, give me 6 innings pitched, 3 earned runs with this lineup, you're probably in pretty good shape. And unfortunately, the Diamondbacks weren't able to do that to get the win in that case. But I think Taiwan's been rock solid, and you see the progression he's made from, you know, last year with Seattle, where his ERA was, you know, in plenty of strikeouts, but in mid-4s, and we're seeing it right in mid-3s right now. We're seeing him, I think, go from a thrower to a pitcher.
And he's becoming more comfortable, as we talked about previously. When I spoke to him at the beginning of the season in spring training, that was one of the big things he focuses on as mm-hmm. the season progresses, is just staying calm in those pressure situations and focusing on coming out of them and not trying to just rush through them.
And he's upfront with his emotions. Okay. It's kind of refreshing with an athlete. You know, most of them are kind of bulletproof robots where it's like, no, I wasn't nervous. Like, this is a part of the game. Da da da. You
he
know,
the, up to his mistakes.
Yeah, there were times where he'd just be like, you know what? I was really nervous. This was the home opener, you know, my D-backs debut, whatever. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, later, and he was like, you know, I just got a little frazzled. And that sort of thing. Yeah. So, yeah, he's an emotional guy, but he definitely is upfront about it. And I think he's been having a great year so far.
Now, I feel like we can't wrap things up at all today without talking a little bit about JT Martinez's first full week as a Diamondback. He's 5 of his 7 hits that he has with the Diamondbacks are home runs. He had a grand slam. He had a 2 home run game. He opened up his Diamondbacks, not career, I guess, because he did have the injury, but he came back from that injury, and in his first game back, his first hit as a Diamondback is a home run. The numbers speak for themselves in that sense. He is currently hitting at about .240 on the season. He's got 12 RBIs still in this last week. I mean, what he's come up and done with the Diamondbacks is just insane.
It's great for the Diamondbacks, but also is pretty unfortunate for the Diamondbacks because his price tag is going to skyrocket here come the offseason. But this is why they traded for him. They knew it was a potential rental. They needed to help solidify against left-handed pitching. They've needed to help solidify the lineup as a whole, and JD Martinez has definitely accomplished that. And the Diamondbacks, it was almost, you know, the day he was traded for, there was a jump start in the offense. And you can see they've hung 3 double-digit run totals since he got brought on. Since July 20th, they've had 3 of those, all the way back 4 since July 18th. So he's a big part of that, and I think other guys are, whether it's the competition or feeling the pressure come off a little bit, they're starting to hit as well.
We're going to go with a minor leaguer of the week this week. It's Paven Smith, Diamondback's first-round draft pick this year. He is also the number 75 prospect in top 100 prospects of all Major League Baseball. Only Diamondback on that list, listed at number 5 out of first baseman, and he's the number 1 prospect for the Diamondbacks in Diamondback's farm system. He's batting at .328 for Hillsboro, made the Northwest League All-Star team, doing really well up there in Hillsboro.
And I think that's one of, obviously, the bat is why they drafted him in the first round as a top 10 pick. But again, the strategy this year was to get established college players so they can hit the ground running, help revitalize the farm system, not just within the farm system, but the top of the farm system. They wanted to get some top 10 depth. Definitely accomplished that so far.
Yeah, they've got Drew Ellis at number 5. In the farm system, and Dalton Barshow, number 16. Ellis was the second-round pick. Barshow was the conditional-round pick. Definitely those mature college bats. I mean, Barshow's leading Hillsboro, hitting at .336, and they did say he was going to be he was drafted more so for his bat. He's played pretty well defensively up there in Hillsboro, but they wanted him for that bat, and like you said, those mature college bats are what they got this year.
Yeah, it's always going to be a premium to get the guys that have proven it and can get up through the minor leagues quickly.
That's all we've got for you this week on Diamonds in the Desert. Be sure to check out sports360az.com for more of our baseball content at the high school level, college level, and pro level. Thanks for listening.